Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today I'm joined by Brian Bosick. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Megan.
So today, our topic is personal statements, which basically are short essays that are often required when you're applying to some sort of academic program. So that can be at the undergraduate level, but definitely at the graduate school level as well. And so we're going to try to cover everything about these statements. So Brian, why don't you just kind of kick us off by just a brief definition of what a personal statement is? Let's start there.
Sounds like a great place to start.
All right.
So if we take what is a personal statement, let's break that into three different parts. So number one, a personal statement is basically an essay, and it's describing your past personal, academic, and professional experiences. And as Megan said, it can be used for admissions to undergraduate or graduate programs. And the main purpose of this, even though I think we sometimes bristle at having to do one, is to let a committee know who you are so they can start to put a link between all of your experiences on your resume with who you are. And if we look at personal statements, there's typically two types, basically two main categories. The very first one are general personal statements. And this often comes when a school or wherever you're applying asks you to tell us about yourself. And I know that's a really broad question, but the one tip that we would often add for that is focus on why you're interested in the field and how who you are applies to that. Sometimes in medical school or law school, you'll see a specific question of why do you want to pursue this profession, right? Those are kind of the general statement ones. And then sometimes you see personal statements that are really specific. And here you're going to have to answer a very specific question. And these often come more if you're applying to a master's program, let's say in a business school.
Great. And it's good to know the difference because probably, you know, one of the biggest tips, and maybe I'm giving away a tip we'll talk about later, is make sure you're answering exactly what they told you to.
Exactly.
Follow directions, just like you were told since, you know, preschool.
Exactly. Make it easy for them and answer what they're asking.
Exactly. So once you've written your personal statement, you've sent it in along with all your other application materials, then the admissions committee, a group of people, will be reviewing that statement. So being aware of your audience is also good because typically it will be reviewed by people who work in the Office of Admissions, but that committee could also include faculty, department chairs. Sometimes, you know, especially for an MBA program, they might bring in some professionals who are working in the field to review. And they're going to be looking for a lot of things. So, of course, they're going to be looking at the content of what you're writing. So they want to know about the experience you have in the field, the knowledge of the field. They want to know why you are committed to this field of choice, to this program that you're applying to. But, you know, you're also writing. So they're evaluating your writing and communication skills. A good thing to also think about is they're evaluating how self-aware you are. Wouldn't you say, Brian, like, that's a big piece of it? Like, are you writing this in a way that makes sense for the program you're applying for?
Absolutely. Have you done your research? And we'll come to that as a tip too, right? Do you see where the link is?
Yes, exactly. Cool.
So one of the things that we often look at is then how do you get started, right? You've got all this information, and then how do you want to approach writing your personal statement? One of the best things you can do is to start brainstorming. And I know brainstorming itself is a really big word, so let's break it down to three steps you can take. Number one, with brainstorming, just get out a blank piece of paper and start writing. Some questions you can use to kind of guide that are, what have you done related to what you're applying to? What inspired you to pursue this field? And why are you choosing this profession? And if you can, write without judgment. You are not critiquing. You're not doing anything. You're just writing. After you've created that list, it's recommended that you talk to people that know you and they know your work. Mm-hmm. So talk to family, talk to friends, talk to professors, because they could take a look at your list and tell you what you're missing. Because when you're in the middle of it, it's really easy to not know what you can't see.
Right. And we often don't give ourselves enough credit sometimes for the things we have been through, the things we do know.
Absolutely. And that could be a whole nother avenue to take things on. And then the third step with the brainstorming is do some research on the programs that you're applying to and work to make that link. So think about, from everything that you've written, why you're a good fit. And if you can draw that thread, you make the job for the committee so much easier. Once you've done that, just write. and realizing that it may take you several drafts, which if it doesn't, that's probably not a good thing. It should take some time. And write without critiquing. Don't worry about grammar, punctuation, just write, and then you can go back and edit.
Exactly. And I would also say, don't get bogged down. If you're applying to multiple programs or multiple schools, and they might all be a little bit different, just start with one.
Yes.
Focus on one and then make that one as good as it can be. And it'll be much easier to then tweak and follow the criteria for the other programs you're applying for. But feel really good about one first.
Right. Because you've got a template.
Exactly.
Right? And then you can adjust that template. I totally agree.
Awesome.
And as you're going through it, if you need additional support, there's a lot of great resources on campus you can turn to. So the GVSU Writing Center, the Career Center, the Meyer Office of Fellowships, academic advisors, your professors who know you really well, who also might be writing a letter of reference, and then any professionals in the field. So if you've done an internship, great person to talk to see if you're on target with what you're writing.
Absolutely. Good. Okay. So now we thought it would be fun to go into some FAQs, some frequently asked questions that we get as advisors when we're working with students on these personal statements. So I think one of the biggest ones that I've heard is, should I address areas of concern on my application in my personal statement? So, right? The things that make you feel... This is the part that makes me nervous about my application.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a lower GPA your freshman and sophomore year. Maybe it's you didn't have as much time for volunteer involvement as you imagine the other candidates for the program have, right? Those kind of sticking points.
Absolutely.
And our advice is, yes, you can address these issues in your personal statement. It actually adds a lot of authenticity. It adds some flavor. It makes you different from everyone. Failure is not always a bad thing, especially if you've kind of come out on the other side of it. So it really is an opportunity to tell your story, share your experiences. So maybe you start by focusing on why something happened. So for example, you could write something like, though I would have liked to have volunteered more in healthcare, I was supporting myself in college and was able to gain valuable work experience as a nurse tech.
Excellent.
Right?
Yes.
I understand then, rather than being left with a bunch of questions. And, you know, that's a pretty good reason for why you weren't able to do as many volunteer hours.
And you're then drawing the thread on your resume, right? You're going to make that connection for them.
Yes. You can also explain the issue. It's your opportunity to tell them about that and how you grew from that. So an example would be, I struggled with the adjustment to college and finding the right major for me, but changed my major to sociology my sophomore year and fell in love with the subject matter. Okay, now I understand.
Right.
So much better than just leaving the question of, whoo, that freshman year.
What happened?
Was a little rough. Why not address it? And then I would say even go beyond the little example I just said and really talk about how that, you know, changing to sociology then was so beneficial to the rest of your college career.
And I think you'd be surprised that that happens for so many people, right?
Yes.
So I think just by addressing it, perfect way to go.
Absolutely.
One of the frequently asked questions I get is, sometimes I've had personal challenges that have shaped my academic and professional career. Is that appropriate to discuss in a personal statement? That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes, if you feel comfortable.
Yep.
Right. And if you feel comfortable talking about it, then there's a couple guidelines that you can follow that will help you address that. So first thing, just focus on how those experiences shaped you as a person. They directed you to the profession, or they helped you to develop resilience. What skills did you learn as a result, and how are you going to apply those to the program? The one thing you really want to stay away from is, don't get stuck too much on the negative or the struggle. That is one area. If you can stay away from that and really focus on, these are the strengths I developed, and this is why I'm choosing to talk about this, and that's what shaped me to get to where I am today.
Right. So you touch on the negative, so I have a clear understanding of what you're trying to tell me.
Exactly.
But then spend the majority of the time describing, like, what happened after.
What happened after, right? Mm-hmm. So it's okay to acknowledge. Just don't spend 3/4 of your statement there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Then you become a little like Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants to read too much of that.
Tone's an important thing to think about, right?
Yes.
And it's one of those things you want to think of. What's the message I'm leaving them with?
For sure. Okay. Another frequently asked question we get is, my story isn't very exciting. What should I do? I think this one's actually very common.
I think so too.
especially because we kind of, like I was saying before, we don't like to give ourselves credit.
Yeah.
We don't want to have an ego. So we think, who wants to hear my story? I've had a very, you know, traditional path through college or whatever it is. Right. But I think it still is important to know that you have unique personal experiences.
Absolutely.
Regardless of it was something huge. Sure. Some people have these life stories that you're just blown away by. They've overcome something huge in their life. And yes, that makes an excellent personal statement because there's a lot of growth. But even if you haven't had some of those more extraordinary circumstances, it is okay. You do have a story to share. So you'll want to focus on what you know, what you have done, really home in on what has been unique about your professional experiences. So think about your jobs, right? Even if it's jobs that you know everybody else in the applicant pool might have had, you know, you've been a server at a restaurant, you still can kind of home in on what were the specific pieces of that. What was a specific story you can tell about a time you worked with someone in that role? Because that will then allow you to show, you know, here's where I started, here's how I grew. And, you know, it can help you to think about how you really have transformed from, you know, back when you were 15 up to now, whatever age you are when you're actually applying to that program. So give yourself the credit for that.
Absolutely right. It's the small details that humanize you. And
sure.
I think that's the thing that makes your story unique.
Yes. Right. Yes. And being specific, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of specific, one of the frequently asked questions we often get is, well, what's the difference between a personal statement and a statement of professional goals? Mm-hmm. And truth is, they have a lot more in common than they do differences. One of the things that we often see is a statement of professional goals is going to be much more focused on the future. What do you hope to do in this profession? Whereas a personal statement is going to focus a little bit more on, how did you get here? And what in your past shaped you that way? And sometimes you're going to find that you have to write both for an application. So just keep that in mind as you do that. One is going to be focused a little bit more on your journey here. And the next is going to be focused on, what do you want to do going forward? And how does that tie into this profession?
Great. Thanks, Brian. That was a fun little FAQ.
I think it was.
Now let's move into some tips. We always love giving out some tips during the Work Like a Laker podcast. So, Brian, you want to kick us off with number one?
I sure can. And this is something I think that has been a resonant theme throughout what we've been talking about. Tailor your personal statement to your program.
Yes.
Make sure you've done the research. Draw the link for them. Mm-hmm. Make it make sense.
Right. Number two. And I already said this one. See, we gave away all our tips.
We did.
We blew it. Answer the question or questions posed. Yes. Follow the instructions.
Follow the directions.
Follow directions. It's so important because that's, you know, the committee is going to be reading hundreds of personal statements, likely.
Yes.
Maybe more, dare I say. So you want yours to align with their expectations of what they want to hear in that personal statement. So, you know, being specific, I'll throw it over to you for tip number three.
Yes.
Is super important for making that happen.
It's really important. So be specific about why you're a good fit for that program. The best thing you can do is to move away from basically restating everything on your resume, right? What you can do with that is let your personal narrative come through. Talk about how these experiences tie together so that it's so much more than just reading points on a resume that mm-hmm. point why you're a good fit for this program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Maybe you've written a cover letter before. There are some parallels between a cover letter and a personal statement.
Absolutely.
And that's always the advice I'm giving on cover letters as well, is it shouldn't just be a rehashing of every last thing that you've done. I know you want to share all of that.
And it's all important.
And it's all important.
But
that can be a little boring.
Yes.
If it's just, I did this, I did that, and then I did this, and then I did that. No, go in depth. Tell me an interesting story that goes along with those experiences.
That makes you pop off the paper.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, number four then is to proofread and review your writing. Again, basics, right? This is the basics of anything you're writing, from writing a quick email to a personal statement that you're spending hours on. Be sure that you're reviewing it yourself, but then that you also are having a professional review it as well.
Absolutely. You know, and I think we mentioned before, make sure you're answering the question, right? So if you review it and you realize you've kind of tailed off a little bit,
yes,
feel free to kind of cut and hack and go back to the purpose of the question.
Absolutely. So, right, not just grammar and spelling, but also evaluating kind of the overall content as well, and not being afraid to say, oh, I thought this was done and now it's not.
And now it's not.
And being open to that feedback, hopefully, from the professionals in the Writing Center, the Career Center.
Exactly.
Or, you know, whoever you're talking to that's helping you with that.
Perfect. And our fifth tip is be yourself. I think you can often feel the pressure to have this perfect personal statement. The best thing you can do is let your kind of own personality come through. And that's going to make it real and authentic. And that is going to be the thing that any committee is going to appreciate versus one that feels static and with big language but no personality.
Yes. Okay. So before we wrap up today, we're going to throw out a few what not to do's, because that's always good to be aware of.
Absolutely. Keep in the back of your mind.
Exactly. And, you know, we've already definitely covered some of these. So avoiding spelling and grammar mistakes, that's just a really easy red flag for the reader that you haven't spent enough time reviewing it.
Absolutely. Number two, avoid cliches, right? Really create your examples that fit for you. So big standard cliches or phrases that don't have personal meaning, try to keep those out.
Love it. Don't go over the word limit. Again, we're following directions here. Back to the basics. If it says 1,000 words, it better be 1,000 words or under.
That's right. Yes. Unless it is asked for, avoid controversial topics.
Yeah.
Not the time to take the focus off yourself.
Yes, absolutely. It can be, you know, personal experiences that you're sharing that might be hard to read.
Absolutely.
Right? But yeah, you don't want to get into like the politics behind that or
that's
something
exactly
that's going to make somebody go, ooh, why are they talking about this in their personal statement? This is supposed to be about you.
And then the only thing they remember is that feeling they left with reading going,
So true.
Yes.
That feeling. That's why it's also important, I think, to have multiple people read it. And maybe that's a good question to ask. Like, what feeling did this leave you with?
I like
Were
that.
You invigorated by my story? Did you leave really sad? Like, what's the overall kind of message that you're leaving with?
I like that. Yeah, because it has a tone, and maybe you aren't even aware of that tone.
Yes. Yes, tone. I love that. And then don't submit additional documents unless they're requested.
So true.
Yep. You know, following directions again.
That's right.
But, you know, you might have this huge portfolio that it's just bursting out of you. You need to share it. But unless they're asking for that, not the time.
That's right.
To kind of include that in like that personal statement document. Maybe there will, you can find other creative ways to get that in front of someone. But don't just kind of include that along with all the other documents you're submitting.
Exactly. You may get a follow-up interview and that may be a great time to bring that portfolio.
Exactly. Perfect. Good. Okay. Well, I think we've kind of covered a lot of the basics here.
I think so, too.
So thanks so much to everyone for listening, and we hope you tune into a future episode soon.